welcome everybody tonight to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. You're listening tonight on the HPR Network on KTX 97.7 FM, as well as KNNK 100.5 out of Hereford, 97.7 out of Eastland. We're also airing on KQMK 1680 AM out of Hydro, Oklahoma. And we're also on Internet Radio, KnowTheTruthRadio.org. And we want to remind you that this is a live call-in talk show. And if you'd like to call in with a question or comment, and we really encourage you to do so because that makes the radio program, we believe, so much better, the number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. And we're going to be talking about something tonight that I know that you're going to be very interested in. We want to remind you of our sponsors. Not only are we being sponsored by the Park High Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas, and also the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Texas, but also the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs, Texas, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, Texas, the Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Texas, the Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, Texas, and the Fourth and Stewart Church of Christ in Brownwood, Texas. My name is Tom Moore, and I preach for the Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Texas. And with me tonight, David Harris, my good friend and partner on this program, preaches for the Hillcrest Church of Christ right here in Stephenville. We want to remind you that our motto is and has always been and will always be, you have heard what men have said, now let's hear what the Bible has to say. You know, David, last week we began a discussion on a very important topic, a topic that a lot of people, if not most of the religious world, seems to have a misunderstanding about the Holy Spirit. They don't understand whether he operates directly or indirectly, or whether he is still giving modern-day revelations. And many claim to be led by the Spirit. But those people who are claiming to be led by the Spirit, they are contradicting what other people say who claim to be led by the Holy Spirit. So there's lots of misconceptions and there's lots of divisions as a result of these things. And we began last week about talking about some of the misconceptions that people have with regard to the Holy Spirit.
And I do believe that one of the major factors in the division of religion today, ever since the establishment of the Lord's Church in Acts chapter 2, is this misconception of the Holy Spirit that you're talking about tonight, and whether or how he operates in our life, how he operates in our religion, how he operates through the Word. And this misconception by men has caused the religious division that we have today, the major reason for the religious division that we have today. And I would like to start this program as we started it last week. Everything that we know concerning the Holy Spirit is going to come through the Holy Scriptures, or we don't know anything about the Holy Spirit at all.
Exactly. You know, a lot of people, if not most of the people, who think they know something about the Holy Spirit, what they know is what they have read in some book or what they feel they know about it, and they have not gone to the Scriptures. You know, as 2 Corinthians 13, verse 5 says, we need to examine the Scriptures, whether we be in the faith.
Mm-hmm.
We need to examine the Scriptures concerning the Holy Spirit. You know, we'd know a whole lot more about the Holy Spirit. We would do a lot less reading man-made books and do more reading of the God-made book, the Holy Bible.
No doubt about it. And so we have a misconception, and the misconception begins, and we're going to do a little review as to what we talked about last week. The misconception, one of the great misconceptions, is him, the Holy Spirit, being a spirit. And the fact that he is a spirit is linked to with his name. It throws a lot of people for a loop. The first explicit mention of him refers to him as a spirit in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 2, which says, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water. And so he is a personality in the Godhead here. Secondly, we look at the Godhead there. The first person of the Godhead is also spirit. That would be God the Father. John chapter 4, verse 24, God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And then Christ the Son, the second person of the Godhead, is also a spirit. And we read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 17, says, now the Lord is that spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so each member, Tom, of the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, is a spiritual being, and they're all alike, and this makes the third person, that would be God the Holy Spirit, no less mysterious or no more mysterious or complex than God the Father or God the Son.
And because of the Holy Spirit being called Holy Spirit, they differentiate between the Holy Spirit and the Father and the Son as being some type of a spiritual influence rather than an entity or a person. And that's really our next point from last week. There are misconceptions about his being a person. Now, being a spirit does not negate his being a person. God the Father is a person. Christ, his Son, is a person. And the Holy Spirit is a person. Many folks, religious folks, will concede that the first two, God the Father and Christ, that they are persons, but they adamantly deny the personality of the third person, the Holy Spirit. They perceive the Holy Spirit simply, David, as some kind of an influence or some kind of a mysterious it. But that's not the way the Bible refers to him as.
You know, a lot of people think they look at him like a liquid that can be poured out of heaven and received into this zealous vessel of humanity. And what we see here is that there is so much misunderstanding here concerning the Holy Spirit that we have decided to spend several weeks on this very topic and try to correct the misunderstanding, the misguidance that a lot of people have had because of the influence of people and preachers, overzealous preachers, that will not go to the Bible to find out what the Holy Spirit's all about, Tom.
Exactly. And tonight we're talking about the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit we're going to be getting to in just a moment. We'd like for you to get involved in our conversation with a question or comment. You can also get involved in the chat room on knowthetruthradio.org. But we would prefer you to call in. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Last week we had a call from out of state. This is a toll-free number. It's not going to cost you a penny to call in. And we encourage you to do so. The number again is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We talked about the misconceptions of the Holy Spirit and his being a spirit, and the misconceptions about him being a person. But there's also a very big misconception in our day, David, about how he influences people. Many misguided preachers, and even many I might even call money-hungry preachers, assure the gullible audience that the Holy Spirit is seeking speaking to them directly, and what they say is straight from him. These misguided preachers, these money-hungry preachers. But when we look at what they're saying, David, they're very much contradicting one another, coming and going. And according to the Holy Spirit, according to them, the Holy Spirit must be full of a contradictory message if they can't even speak the same things that correspond with one another, claiming to be led by the Holy Spirit. Something's wrong there.
There's no doubt about it. And we have seen this present its ugly head here lately when we have heard several preachers now that homosexuality is being led in a politically correct direction. Now we have preachers claiming that somehow through the Holy Spirit they have now determined that Paul the Apostle is wrong, God must be wrong, the Word of God must be wrong, homosexuals are going to heaven now.
Exactly, you know, and all of this is from the guys, they're being led by the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
My friends, you know something's wrong when you claim to be led by the Spirit and what you claim the Spirit is telling you is contradicting what the Bible says. You know you've got to be wrong.
There's no doubt about that. Now, I would like to put in one thing, one great big point here. There is a Calvinistic theology brought about by John Calvin that has been adopted by most religious organizations today, and John Calvin's theology contends for the direct operation of the Holy Spirit upon the human heart. And with this direct operation of the Holy Spirit on the human part, Tom, if this is true and the Holy Spirit is still speaking today directly to people, then we don't need the book.
Exactly.
You can just throw your New Testament away, 2,000 years old, because now we've got a direct impact of the Holy Spirit upon the hearts without the Word of God.
You know, one of the dangers in all this, David, is people who believe they are being directed by the Holy Spirit, where in reality what they're doing is directing their own thoughts and attributing it to the Holy Spirit, and therefore they feel really no need to study their Bible, to go by what the Bible says, because they believe in their heart that the Spirit is directing them in their way they're going. But when we ask them, well, how do you prove it? How would they prove it, David?
Well, you can't prove it. And this kind of thought and this kind of an error, the more that a man holds on to this kind of an error, that they are being led by the direct influence of the Holy Spirit, the more or the less they put stock in what the Bible has to say. And they are actually making shambles out of the Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3 says that according to His divine power, He has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. And that is the revealed Word of God that we have given to us here by the grace and the mercy of God Himself.
You know, this mentality, David, really robs a man of any accountability or responsibility to God and to the Holy Word of God. This goes again, you know, the Bible is very clear that it is all sufficient. It is all that we need. But if a person thinks that they're being led by the Spirit, then where is their accountability? Where is their responsibility? Where is their assurance that they have? He could never be sure if he imagined a direct impact or a message today. If you go simply by what you're feeling is taking place, your whole religious life is nothing but a subjectivism.
Right.
And you have nothing concrete to base it on, and my feeling is no better or no worse than your feeling. That's why we have an objective standard, the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
But if this direct operation of the Holy Spirit is indeed true, then as we've already mentioned, what good or what need is there really in us having God's written Word?
And it gets right back to what we said at the beginning of this program. This is one of the major divisions, one of the major sources of division in religion in the world today, because we have different varieties of the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. We have different kinds of forces that are operating under the direct operation of the Holy Spirit according to these denominational bodies. And no one has any objectivity about it. There is absolutely no standard about it. And this is the reason that you hear one preacher talk about homosexuality in one way, one preacher talk about adultery in another way, and fornication and drunkenness in another way, because God, through the Holy Spirit, spoke directly to them, and here's what they told them to tell you.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you hear that, and we have said this before and over, if your preacher out there is telling you that the direct operation of the Holy Spirit is operating through him, and he's got a word for you that came to him last night, you better get out of there, and you better get your Bible and start studying it.
Would you say that the Apostle Paul was inspired of God?
No doubt about it.
Would you say that the Holy Spirit spoke to Paul?
Yes.
I find it interesting, then, in light of that, in Acts chapter 17, verse 11, you know, the Apostle Paul was speaking in this instance and teaching the people there in Thessalonica and Berea and all that area. But in Acts 17, verse 11, it says, "Now these were more noble than those in Thessalonica, those who had just thrown Paul out of town, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, examining the Scriptures daily whether these things were so."
Mm-hmm.
I find it very enlightening, very interesting, very profound that these people were checking out an inspired man not by what they felt in their heart, not by what they thought the Spirit was saying, but by going to the Scriptures.
Right.
The same is true today. We always go back to the Scriptures. These people who claim to be receiving messages from God, we're going to find out in our lesson today and for the next several weeks that the messages that come from God today are going to be found only in His written Word.
No doubt about that. And we encourage you to call in. Our number to call is 1-855, and the letters Q, standing for question, A for answers, B-I-B-L-E, Q-A Bible, 1-855. QA Bible. If you'll call in, we'll give you a Bible answer. Now, there are also some misconceptions about the past and the present work of the Holy Spirit. And today, a lot of people, and I've even surfed through some of the channels, some of these religious channels, and these people that get on television that believe that are highly charismatic and they believe in the direct operation of the Holy Spirit, they say that people who believe in the written word, that we are limiting God in what He can do when we say that He is not operating directly today through people. And so when we look at this, what they try to argue is what He has done in the past, He can also do it right now, and they assume that He is currently doing what He has always done, but the Bible teaches us that that is simply not the case.
Exactly. No, God once moved over the darkened waters during creation week, but does He do it today?
No.
You know, some 16 centuries ago, he inspired some 40 men to write the sacred scriptures. He's not currently doing this. He once came upon the apostles and the Gentiles in the household and baptismal measure of the Holy Spirit, Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10. He confirmed the revealed word with miracles, signs, wonders during the first century, and the Holy Spirit baptism was a part of this. Is God doing that today? The answer is no. And so just because God is not doing something today that He once did is not a reflection upon His power. It's telling us things have changed. God has changing things. There is no need for such today. There is no need for direct operation today because God's Word has it not already confirmed the things that He has spoken of.
Well, we have a very interesting response on the chat box according to this very thing that we're talking about from Denny. And he says, regardless of what those individuals believe, he's talking about the ones who believe in the direct operation of the Holy Spirit today. Regardless of what they believe, they cannot confirm whether or not they are being directed directly by the Spirit, which was part of what was promised in the New Testament, Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. And you see, there is no need for the Holy Spirit to do what He once did because we have the written word today, and that written word has already been confirmed. And we read about it here in Mark chapter 16 and verse 20. Let's back up to verse 19. He says, so then, after the Lord had spoken unto them and was received up into heaven and sat on the right hand of God. Now, here we see this is the ascension, and that's where the abode is of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. They went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. That word was confirmed with the word. Now, with miracles. We today can confirm the word with the revelation that's in our Bible. That this is what God has said. Open your Bible up to Mark chapter 16 and verse 20 and see what God has said here. And we don't need the direct operation of the Holy Spirit. We can actually prove what we believe because we have a motto here. This is, you have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible has to say, and the confirmation of the Bible will stand true.
Exactly. And one of the major reasons for miracles in the first century was for the purpose of confirming the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
They did not have, at that time, God's Word written in its full extent. And so they would need miracles. A man who was coming and preaching, he couldn't say, "Thus saith the Lord, book, chapter, and verse," because it was not written down yet.
Right.
He would perform miracles proving that what he was saying was coming from God.
Mm-hmm.
But now that we have God's fully revealed will, miracles are no longer needed. We're going to be talking more about this in days to come.
Right.
But God's word is now fully written. It is confirmed. Denny just popped up here, Hebrews 2, verses 1 through 4, points out the very same thing as Mark chapter 16, verses 19 and following does as well. God's word in the first century was confirmed by miracles. Today, we have the already confirmed word
and,
of God.
And in Hebrews chapter 2, talks about the revealed word of God, and he asks, how shall we escape? How shall we escape so great a punishment if we neglect the word that has been revealed? Now, a lot of these people that claim that they have the direct operation of the Holy Spirit spoke to them, here's what he told me to tell you. It is often, if not nearly always, a contradiction of God's word and revealed will that we have here. And that's the reason the question is asked, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation that was first revealed to us by the Lord and then confirmed to us by the Holy Spirit, or by the apostles?
Exactly. And so we realize then that the Word of God is totally sufficient to provide us with everything that we need that pertains to life and godliness, 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. All that we need comes through revelation.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, David, one of the big problems that we're having in our world today, and sadly even in the Lord's church, is the misconception one has relative to the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There are many people who contend for a literal, actual, personal, and direct indwelling of the Spirit within the Christian. And that causes us great difficulty. Now, remember tonight, the number to call if you'd like to get in on the question with a question or comment is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're presently talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. There are, again, many people who contend for a literal, actual, personal, and direct indwelling of the Holy Spirit within the Christian. Now, David, many contend this and will adamantly argue that the Spirit, though they believe is literally and personally indwelling them, does nothing without the Word while he's indwelling. But others don't have that view, do they?
No, there are others. They will not stop with that conclusion. What they contend is that he does things for them and to them beyond the gospel and its power. Now, we know that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation, because the inspired writer Paul tells us that, Romans chapter 1, verse 16. It is the power of God unto salvation. That's what the gospel is. But now, if the Holy Spirit is doing things for them and to them beyond this gospel and his power, if they are right, then the gospel is not his power to save.
Exactly.
It's not there. But the Holy Spirit said it was there. And these people are contending that the Scriptures are not all sufficient, and yet, Tom, the Holy Spirit says that they are.
Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17, every Scripture inspired of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto every good work.
Mm-hmm.
Paul there, by inspiration, is claiming that the Word of God is all sufficient and we need nothing else. And yet, there are some who are believing in this personal, direct indwelling who believe that they need something in addition to the Word of God.
Right.
You know, and here's the deal, David. There are people who believe in this direct operation of the Holy Spirit, and they believe the Spirit is bodily, literally in them, and they say, well, since he's there, he must be doing something.
He's got to be doing something. That's what they contend, anyway.
Mm-hmm. And so there's the crux of our problem. There's where a lot of our our difficulty is arising is the misconceptions that one has concerning the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. People that contend that the Holy Spirit is doing something to them and for them beyond the gospel by a personal indwelling are really, David, saying that God is impotent in accomplishing what he said he could do by the word of God that he gave mankind. God says, my word, my written word is all that you need. Man today is saying, well, God, I think we need something more.
Well, even in back in the Psalms, in the 119th Psalm, verse number 89, the psalmist, through inspiration, would say, thy word, O Lord, is forever settled in heaven. And so the word of God is settled in heaven. It's not settled in the mind of man, but it's settled in heaven. And so these individuals that would try to lead people down this primrose path to hell by convincing them that the direct operation of the Holy Spirit is still active today, here's what they told me to tell you. Friends, let me reiterate this again. Get up there and run as fast as you can. Grab your Bible and check things out, because everything that we know about the Holy Spirit, we either know it from God or we don't know anything at all about it.
Exactly. Now, we're going to talk more about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in just a moment, but for a moment, let's consider some misconceptions about how he should be studied. You know, too many people, David, approach the study of the Holy Spirit in a subjective manner and not in an objective manner. The subjective appeals to feelings.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of like, this is how I feel. When a person appeals to human traditions or his feelings on the subject, has he not eliminated the facts of the gospel, and has he not eliminated divine truth by simply going by one's feelings?
There's no doubt about it. And I've just got an example of an individual that I spoke to one morning. This lady was asking me a question, and she actually prefaced the question with a comment that she had. She says, I believe that God creates us with a spirit to know the difference between good and bad and then to do good. And I taught her that we all must be taught of the goodness of God through the revelation of his word. We do not have the right to make the distinction between right and wrong based upon what we think and what we feel. We make our decisions of right and wrong based upon what God says is right and what God says is wrong and the righteousness of God. And she said, well, I don't believe that. She said, I feel in my heart that he puts within us directly the potential to discern between right and wrong. I do not believe that. I have faith that he did this. And my response was, your faith has got to come from the word of God. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, all scripture, or our faith, comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so when we look at what God has to say, then we can distinguish between that which is righteous and that which is unrighteous. And so this subjective feeling thing, this is how I feel about it, is a totally inadequate standard by which to determine right and wrong.
Exactly. You know, tonight, Dave, we've got listeners from Canada, around the United States, who are very interested in the topic that we're discussing tonight, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We're going to take a break on the radio, and we're going to continue for a little while on internet radio, but you are listening to the HPR Network.
They thought the Titanic was unsinkable. They thought the double-bottom 16 watertight compartments could withstand anything. They thought the ship could float with some water in its bulkhead. They thought that 3 million rivets holding the steel plates together was indestructible. They thought that even after the ship struck an iceberg, there was no cause for alarm. They thought all was fine, and some continued dancing, enjoying the music, and partying. They thought, but they were wrong. We must make our eternal destiny sure. Surely we should not accept the advice or counsel of a man, but rather only heed the word of God. Jesus stated, those who do the will of the Father shall inherit the kingdom of God, Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 p.m. for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions and comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by the Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Street Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon, and the Bangs Church of Christ in Bangs.
We spend more to have less. We buy more but enjoy it less. We have bigger houses and smaller families, more conveniences but less time, more medicine but less wellness. We read too little and watch TV too much and pray too seldom. We have multiplied our possessions but reduced our values. These are the times of torment, short character, steep profiles, and shallow relationships. We have learned to make a living but not a life. We have added years to life but not life to years. Perhaps the world needs to heed the words of our Lord, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Join us every Monday from 7 to 8 for the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. This is a live call-in talk show about living in America and making a biblical application to our lives. Please call with questions or comments at 254-629-2622. This show is brought to you by Hillcrest Church of Christ in Stephenville, Park Heights Church of Christ in Hamilton, Patrick Church of Christ in Dublin, Rising Star Church of Christ in Rising Star, and the De Leon Church of Christ in De Leon.
You've been listening to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents expressed on the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible are the sole production of the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible and its agents. The views, opinions, beliefs, and contents heard on this show may not be the same as those of the radio station or the HBR network or any of its agents.
Okay. Welcome back to the Harrison Moore Expedition Through the Bible. Those of you who are on the other side of the break, we are back here with the HBR network and also on Internet radio with KnowTheTruthRadio.org. We welcome your calls. We encourage you to pick up the phone and call this number, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking about the misconceptions of the Holy Spirit. And in the second half of the program, we're going to take it from the misconceptions of the Holy Spirit. We are going to deal in with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit as well. This is one of the most controversial subjects in religion. It is the major contributor, the major reason that there are so many divisions in religion today, coming starting with way back before John Calvin, even right after the church was established in Acts chapter 2 that we read about in our Bibles. Soon after this, we had problems with Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit working in people and the way that he worked, and we're going to cover all that today. But as we mentioned just right before the break, there are too many people that approach the study of this Holy Spirit in a subjective manner and not in an objective manner. The subjective is going to appeal to a feeling. This is how I feel about it. And when we appeal to our feelings, our human traditions, just as someone wrote in on the Internet, that if the lady that I gave as an example was correct just a moment ago, then there is absolutely nothing wrong because the subjectivity has absolutely no standard with which to base it. And so we've got to go to the objective manner of studying the Holy Spirit because the objective manner, Tom, appeals to the faith, it appeals to the gospel, which is given by the Word of God. It is the power of God unto salvation. That's what the gospel is. And it has been revealed from faith to faith. The righteousness of God has been revealed to us, and the objective manner of studying any subject will eliminate any subjective feelings that one might have on a subject. And so when we look at this direct operation of the Holy Spirit and the misconceptions of the Holy Spirit and what we've been talking about here, we've got to go back to the Bible, and we've got to understand that every single thing that we know about the Holy Spirit is going to come from the revealed Word of God, or we don't know anything at all.
Exactly.
Think about it, Tom. The world knows nothing about the Holy Spirit.
And God knows everything.
Amen.
And God has revealed His will to us, the information that we need to know about the Holy Spirit, in the written Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So when we think then, David, about the idea of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, are we going to go to what man has said or what man has said in some book, or are we going to go to the source about the Holy Spirit?
We've got to go to the source.
Exactly. You know, when you look at 1 Corinthians at chapter 2, we're told there that the Holy Spirit has revealed the very mind of God.
Mm-hmm.
And this has been revealed to us in the Holy Scriptures. And so when we think about the Holy Scriptures and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, we need to ask the question, when and how do we receive the Holy Spirit? And we're going to be answering the question, exactly how does the Holy Spirit indwell?
Well, one thing we've got to come to grips with, and we've already talked about it a little bit, and by the way, the number to call, I'm going to keep giving this number till I'm blue in the face, 1-855-QA-BIBLE. Pick up the phone, call, get into the conversation here. But we've got to come to grips with this one thing. The Holy Spirit is a person. He is not an influence. He's not liquid. He's not electricity. He's not a mindless power. You can't pour Him out. You can't use Him as electricity. You cannot charge man into performing all kinds of unpredictable gyrations and speaking all kinds of unintelligent gibberish and make Him like a person of Play-Doh. The Holy Spirit is deity, and that means that He is a state of being a God. He is an intelligent being. He is a uniform being, same form as the others, the God the Father, God the Son. He is not a fickle being. He is not a puppet into something that someone can make Him to be anything that they want Him to be. He is a rational being. And we've got to come to grips with that. He is that person.
Exactly. You know, one of the things the Holy Spirit does, one of His purposes is a communicator.
Mm-hmm.
But there's the problem. We need to understand how He communicates today. There are a lot of people who are claiming that He communicates directly to them. He does communicate clearly and rationally and logically, but He communicates to us today, and we're going to see more about this as we go through our studies, but He communicates to us through the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, He's not what the Pentecostals claim, or some of our own brethren would have Him to be, where He is everything to every man. They have manufactured the Holy Spirit into something of their own liking, and they do not want to know what the Holy Spirit of the Scriptures is all about. Again, if you want to know something about the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to go to the Holy Scriptures. You can't go to the world. You can't go to some man-made book. What we know about the Holy Spirit comes from the Bible, or, as we've mentioned already, we know nothing at all about the Holy Spirit.
Absolutely nothing. And there's nothing that can be revealed about the Holy Spirit that God has not already revealed. And if God has revealed it in His book, we don't need another man telling us what God has already told us.
Exactly.
In the first place.
Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or comment, we encourage you to do so. The number to call is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. We're talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit tonight. And there is a very big misconception concerning the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Now, we understand that as God's children, the Bible is very clear that we have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. This is not the argument. He does dwell in us. The question is, how does He dwell in us?
Now, let's reiterate that one thing. We have never argued, nor have we been arguing here, that the Holy Spirit does not dwell in us. That's not the argument at all. He does dwell in us. And as you said, the question is how. Not does he, but how. And so what we're going to ask are several questions here. This is the source of the confusion, is how he dwells in us. And as you just mentioned, is his indwelling, is it personal? Is it actual? Is it literal? Is it direct? Or is it by a medium? And what we mean by that, an intervening thing through which a force acts or communicates. And so does he do it by the word, or is it personal, actual, literal, and direct? The source of the confusion. Some contend that he literally, actually, and directly, personally indwells in them, and they're quick to say that this impact on their heart is separate and it is severed from God's word. In other words, what they're saying is that the Holy Spirit is telling them what to do, the Holy Spirit is moving them in the direction that they need to go, that he is showing them what they need to be shown, and then he is telling them what they need to say to themselves and to other people. And this is what they say when they contend that he literally, actually, directly, personally indwells in them, Tom.
You know, when a person contends this, then the all-sufficiency of God's word is surrendered. As they believe more and more the Spirit's claimed impact on their heart and in their lives, they will feel less and less dependent in regard and with regard to the Bible and with their reverence for the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the idea, if I have the personal little indwelling of the Holy Spirit, he must be doing something. He must be leading me, him being there. And so why do I need the Bible? I have the Spirit's direction. Why do I need the Bible? You know, David, I believe that this is the major reason why we have so much religious division in our world today, is because people are being led by some false idea that the Spirit is directing them, and they're getting away from what the Bible says. After all, it says, you know, I feel this in my heart. And like
right.
The lady you said, talking about a moment ago, I just feel in my heart this is the right thing to do, and not go to the Scriptures and not examine these things and just subjectively believe whatever they want to believe.
And it's a sad state of affairs when a person gets to the point where they believe so legitimately that the Holy Spirit is speaking to them directly. And what we have a lot of people saying, you can't make me believe that what I feel in my heart is not genuine. And other people would say, well, I wouldn't take what I feel here for a whole stack of Bibles. And you hear people all the time saying things like this. And by the way, this is a red flag. And when you see it, when you hear it, you need to get out of there or start asking questions. One, a man that was a preacher is even quoted as saying, as I was driving along one night, the Spirit laid this on my heart. And when people get things laid on their heart, as they like to say, it's hard to put your finger on what they're actually trying to say there, Tom. What exactly are they trying to say? Are they trying to say that the Holy Spirit is moving them, they laid this on their heart? What does that mean exactly?
You know, you ask them these questions and you say, well, what did he say, or how did it feel? They can't give you any coherent answer to that. Well, who did he sound like? Did he sound like some movie star? Did it sound like some boom from heaven? Well, it's just a feeling better felt than told, and they really can't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, they say they're being directed by something they can't explain. Well, how much trouble is that going to get us into?
Well, all kinds of trouble.
The result is really, David, is this, that we believe what we want to believe. We no longer want to believe the Bible, and so now we have an out. We can say the Spirit is leading us.
And that is the reason we keep going back to our motto over and over and over again. You have heard what men have had to say. Now let's hear what the Bible had to say. Because when men have to say something that contradicts God's word, when that is said, Tom, then the contradiction is between God and man. Now, who are we going to choose to believe? You know, it's kind of like we were talking about earlier when Elijah asked the question to all of these people who were following the false prophets. He asked them, he says, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to jump back and forth between two opinions? And the two opinions that he's talking about there is the opinion of man and the opinion of God. The opinion of God is revealed in the Word here in the Bible.
Exactly.
The opinion of man floats around in the air, and people get tossed about to and fro with every wind of doctrine, because there are 1,900 different aspects to the Holy Spirit concept by man himself, because they can make him anything that they want him to be.
Exactly. Now, the number to call tonight, if you'd like to get in on the discussion with a question or comment, is 1-855-QA-BIBLE. That's 1-855-QA-BIBLE. You know, when I think about this issue, David, of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, people are always talking about the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But when you look at the Scriptures, you're going to find out that each of the Godhead dwells in us. You don't hear people talking about the Father indwelling us or the Son indwelling us. It's all a focus on the Holy Spirit's indwelling us. But the Bible does teach us, does it not, David, that the Godhead individually indwells us?
No doubt. There's three persons of the Godhead. The first person of the Godhead is God the Father. The second person of the Godhead is God the Son. And the third person of the Godhead is God the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people don't realize that. And each one of these, each of the Godhead, the divine nature or essence of God, indwells us. And we've got the Word of God to show us this. In 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 15, if you've got your Bibles, you certainly want to look at this. We're talking about the Godhead dwelling in us. Here's the first person of the Godhead. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him, and he in God. Now, that's pretty clear, Tom. That is extremely clear. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him. So we know that the first person of the Godhead dwells in us, and that has never been the argument. Never have we ever said that we do not have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But now here is something that a lot of people don't realize. We also have the indwelling of God. Now, let me back up just a moment here. We had a question at the end of our program last week. And if you will remind me of what that question is, you wrote it down somewhere. Can you find that piece of paper?
Yeah, it says, please explain 1 Corinthians 6 and verse 19.
Okay, please explain 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, which tells us about the indwelling of God. And so here we have, this is not the question, does he dwell? It is how does he dwell in us? And so here the Bible teaches us that whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, 1 John chapter 4, verse 15, is that God dwells in him and he in God. Now, this is a rude awakening for a lot of people. They don't realize that God actually dwells in us, Tom.
And we're talking about God the Father.
God the Father, absolutely.
And then, you know, but the Bible also talks about Jesus, his Son, indwelling us.
Right.
For example, in Colossians 1:27, Christ in you, the hope of glory. And then when you look at Galatians at chapter 2 and verse 20, Paul says, I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I that live, but Christ liveth in me. And that life which I now live in the flesh, I live in the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. It's interesting that people do go a long way to discuss the idea of the Holy Spirit indwelling us, but at the same time not even think about the Father and the Son indwelling us.
Absolutely.
And people ask me, well, how does the Holy Spirit indwell us? I tell them the very same way that the Father and the Son indwell us.
Absolutely. As one person of the Godhead indwells us, so do all three persons of the Godhead indwell us. And now we have proof that the Holy Spirit also dwells in us in Romans chapter 8 and verse 9. Also, again, in verse 11, you have that open up there, Tom?
Yes, Romans chapter 8 and verse 9 says, "But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." And then verse 11 of that same chapter, it says, "But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, he that raised up Jesus Christ from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwelleth in you." You know, when we look at these passages, David, in 1 John 4 and verse 15, and in Colossians 1 and verse 27, and Romans at chapter 8, verses 9 and following, and even Galatians 4 and verse 6.
Mm-hmm.
What we find here is that all of the Godhead dwell in us.
Right. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they all indwell in us in the very same way. So now we get back to the question that we had last week, and I do believe that the person that wrote in and asked for an answer to this question, for us to explain 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19 and 20, I believe her name was Terry. Was that right? I can't remember, and I apologize for not remembering the name. We kind of scattered some notes around here, and we didn't get it all in. But here is what 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19 and 20 says. And I hope that the one that wrote the message is listening tonight. What? Here's what verse 19 says. What? "Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, which is in you, which you have of God." There is the controversy. There shouldn't be a controversy there. The Holy Spirit indwells us in the same fashion that God indwells us, in the same fashion that Jesus the Christ indwells us. He is there. And every one of these scriptures that we have quoted asserts this fact. It is a fact that they all indwell. This is not a manner or a mode of the indwelling. They just have this fact, or we have this fact from the Holy Scriptures, that these three persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, indwells in us.
And so the question that we have tonight that we're going to begin to answer, we're not going to get through everything we want to on this tonight, but the question is, how does the Holy Spirit indwell us? Well, I contend, and the Bible will point this out, that the Holy Spirit indwells us the same way that the Father indwells us and that Jesus himself indwells us.
Right. And so we've got about 6 minutes left on the program here if you want to call and ask a question. We've got about 6 minutes, but in that 6 minutes, until you do call, we've got three questions that we want to throw back at you.
Is that we understand that the God is a person.
Mm-hmm.
He is an entity in heaven.
Right.
And that's an important thing for us to realize.
That's his dwelling place. That is his dwelling place. Well, now the second question, is Christ the Son actually, literally, bodily, personally, and directly in us? If so, in what sense must the heavens, as we are told in Acts chapter 3 and verse 20, what sense must the heavens retain him until his second coming, as we read there in Acts chapter 3 and verse 20, which says, whom the heaven must receive until the time of restitution of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of his holy prophets since the word of began, since the world began. Well, the question has to come up, has Jesus also left David's throne, which is at Jehovah's right hand, to be divided into small portions with every disciple having an actual, literal, direct particle of him?
No. You know, surely we've got to realize Paul refuted this concept and said in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 13, is Christ divided?
Mm-hmm.
You know, the person, the entity of deity is in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's ask this question, David. And, you know, we're going to do a lot more discussing about this in our program next week, but let's leave you with this question with regard to the Holy Spirit. Is the Holy Spirit actually, literally, personally, and directly in every child of God? You know, many people believe that the answer is no to this question. They'll say, yes, the Holy Spirit does, but not the first and second person. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit's indwelling, some people won't say, well, the Father and the Son don't actually dwell in us, but the Holy Spirit does actually indwell us. And there is the misconception.
Right. And here is the big problem. As we mentioned just a little bit in this foundational teaching that we're going through here concerning the Holy Spirit, God the Father is a person. God the Son is a person. God the Holy Spirit is a person. How one dwells in us, so do all dwell in us. And if God the Father can dwell in us, and God the Son can dwell in us, so can God the Holy Spirit dwell in us. And people will say, no, God the Father doesn't dwell in us. He's in heaven above. God the Son cannot dwell in us. He's sitting on the right hand on the throne of his majesty. But now, because the Holy Spirit is conceived as in the minds of people as electricity or as a liquid to be poured out on somebody, well, now he can do it, but the other two cannot.
Exactly. Now, next week, we're going to talk about how the Spirit actually indwells us. We're going to be going to the Scriptures, and we're going to let the Scriptures tell you, inform you exactly how the Holy Spirit indwells a child of God.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to understand that it's not going to be what man has said, but what the Bible has to say. Our time's gone. It's been great to have you in our audience, and we'll see you next week right here on the HPR Network.